You're Omar Lopez. Joining me now on Zoom, actors Ian Somerhalder and Paul Wesley. Welcome to the show, guys.
Yo, what's up? Thanks for having us, dude.
My pleasure. Now, listen, last we spoke, I believe, I don't know if you just had launched it or you were getting ready to, but I know you've been killing it since then, talking about your bourbon business, of course. Congratulations, man. Happy for you guys and got the bottle. Been sipping on that. That was really good. For those who may not be familiar, talk about the transition into the whiskey business and where the idea from Bond Brothers Bourbon came from.
Brothers Bond.
Brothers Bond.
Yeah, no.
All good. How did it...
Right now, behind you, it just says Others Bond.
Hey, that's right.
Well, Others Bond with the brothers. Go for it, dog.
How did the transition... Well, I mean, look, I mean, to put it in a nutshell, you know, ultimately, we, for those of you who don't know, I'll say it very quickly, we played brothers on a TV show, Vampire Diaries, and the brothers drank bourbon on screen. They bonded on screen drinking bourbon and fought. And Ian and I, we shot in the South. We bonded off screen drinking bourbon after the show.
And not fighting.
And so it became this, you know, ritual that we created. We have this bond with one another drinking bourbon on and off screen. And, you know, we've been talking about creating a bourbon for 10 years. I mean, it's been 12 years now.
Yeah.
And when the show finally ended, we decided to embark on the endeavor officially. And we created everything you see here. You know, we didn't just slap our names on this bottle. So, you know, you have the mash bill, obviously, the most important thing. Ian and I blended that in his living room.
For over a year.
It's a four grain.
Wow.
You have the name. Obviously, we came up with the name, the label, the bottle. Everything you see is our baby. You know, this is our baby, and we're the proud parents.
We're the Steven and Damon ran off and went and had a baby together, and it's called Brothers Bond. But it's true, man.
That's awesome. Labor love like that, for it to take off. I mean, 50,000 cases shipped in the first 4 months. That is awesome, guys. Were you prepared for that level of demand and surprised by that?
It's always a surprise. I mean, we have to pinch ourselves, right? Cheers, brother.
Cheers, man.
Salute. I love it.
Cheers, brother. Cheers, everyone. Thank you for this.
Hey, man, it's the PM. It's PM. It's not AM.
That's what I'm talking about. Day drinking's my favorite, though.
Wow. It's just so good. You know, honestly, man, as you know, this level of like passion, you've got to also have determination. You've got to be, you know, I always say to Paul, like, you actually have to be dumb enough to think that you can do what we're doing right now. Like, you have to have the audacity to believe that you can actually make something like this happen, because it's no easy feat, man. As you know, and so it takes a huge team. We're surrounded. Vincent Hanna, our CEO, has surrounded us with a team of literal industry gangsters. I'm talking 20 plus year veterans that know this business through and through and are constantly.
Thank God they have it.
Yeah, because it's a tricky business, and I know it gets a little political, and correct me if I'm wrong, but bourbon itself can only come from Kentucky, correct?
No.
Wasn't that the case at one point?
Well, Kentucky, probably maybe at one point throughout history, Kentucky whiskey has to be distilled and bottled in Kentucky.
Got it.
But you can make bourbon.
You can make bourbon anywhere. It just has to fit certain parameters, right? If you want to be a straight bourbon whiskey, it has to be aged a minimum of 4 years. It has to be at least
in
virgin American oak. It has to be at least 51% corn. Mm-hmm. There are certain stringent rules, and that's for a straight bourbon whiskey. Now, if you want to just be a whiskey, of American whiskey, the rules are, it doesn't have to be aged for a minimum of 4 years, but there are still specific rules that apply. And then Kentucky straight bourbon whiskey is obviously whiskey that is the water. It's Kentucky water, and it's bottled in Kentucky, and it's aged in Kentucky, right?
Yeah.
Nice. Have you guys been down there? Spend some time in Kentucky?
Oh, yeah.
Well, we're actually going there in about a week and a half.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, not only to work with our partners, but we're also two men, you know, we're looking at property and stuff. You know,
nice.
We want to build our own distillery.
We want a home.
I love it. Yeah. I love it. You got to hit up the Bourbon Trail when you're down there.
Yeah, absolutely.
And humbly, by the way, I say, you know, I just wanted to make this a point. Like, Paul and I are very humbled by this. Like, we recognize that being invited into the bourbon community is very special. And our amazing distribution partners, our customers, our retailers, our consumers, our team, everyone, it's a humbling thing for us. So we are grateful to be a part of this community and to kick off, you know, Bourbon Heritage Month today with you is really special. You know, to be a part of all this.
Love to hear it. And you're right, September is National Bourbon Heritage Month. One last thing regarding the bourbon, in case someone is sort of on the fence and you know, they're like vodka people, basic and boring. what's something that most people don't know about bourbon that might entice them?
Well, first and foremost, it's the true American spirit. So, you know, I, for me, it's a reflection of America. It's the only American spirit. And so, yeah. When you think of just like classic, you know, from that sense, I think it's quite special. But you know, I mean, for me, I personally don't like tequila or vodka. It's not that I don't like it. It's not my preferred spirit.
Yeah.
The complexity of bourbon is so unique. And there's actually a phenomenal documentary on Netflix called Neat.
Oh,
if you haven't
seen it.
I'm sure
Mario's seen it. Have you seen it yet?
You know, I've heard about it, but I want to check it out.
It's just brilliant. And it allows you to truly understand bourbon and how unbelievably specific it is. And, you know, everything, the barrels, the way you char the barrels.
Well, also too, you can't do much to it.
Right? Yeah.
Like you put it in a barrel and you age it. So you hope you got it right in that step. And then once you get it out, then you've got to blend it properly.
Yeah.
And
it's a whole process.
Simplicity to it, but it's so unbelievably complex.
Yeah. And the bourbon business, by the way, just to talk a little bit about like getting away from just the amazing science and art of it. Obviously, look, man, being a distiller, 100%, you've got to know what you're doing. And distillers are so important and so incredible. The art of bourbon is actually in the blending. Distilling is super important, no doubt. But that's where the art really comes in, is building a flavor profile that A, you can scale, you can keep, and that you can, you know, replicate over and over and over again to that exact specific quality. Like we have uncompromising quality. That's why we spent over a year blending this, dude. As we spoke about last time, Mauro, you know, I'm sounding a broken record, but it was every day, all day for over a year. I mean, this is hundreds of iterations this guy and I did of this. So, but the bourbon side, I mean, the business side of it, the reason bourbon is so incredibly sought after is because, well, it's super capital intensive. That's the problem though, initially. And you've got 4 or 5 years really before you're ever really, you're, you know, because your costs go down, you have to get way down the line.
Right.
In order to get there, you've got to do well. So, man.
It gets political, of course.
It ain't easy.
Yeah. No, well, hey, you can sense the passion and I'm a fan. I've had it. So congratulations again, you guys. Hey, I wanted to ask you really quick. There's a bunch of podcasts that are devoted to breaking down Vampire Diaries episodes. Have you participated in them? And is there a possibility of perhaps, I reimagining would be tough, but what about like a movie?
Can it be about geriatric vampires?
You guys look the same to me.
Me and Smoldy Pants, we're not gray chickens anymore.
Yeah, getting some gray hairs now, you know. Like,
that's true. Yeah, vampires aren't supposed to age. That's right.
We're not supposed to age, man. It's been over a decade. You can't throw me back in the saddle. It's just not work.
That's the monkey wrench, yes.
What's that?
I said, yes, that's the monkey wrench in being a vampire.
Yeah. And for the last 3 years, we've been developed, you know, like we've been in the home stretch of like building this out. So we have...
Got a couple wrinkles, man.
We've consumed an inordinate amount of bourbon.
I could play Stefan's dad, maybe.
There you go. Flashbacks. We'll go to that. Paul, the tree, you signed on to this Flowers in the Attic prequel. Congrats on that. Right. Anything you can tell us about that?
What's that, brother?
Anything you can tell us about that?
You know, man, it's a big budget, beautiful, sweeping period piece that has a brilliant cast, and the writing was just so good. I couldn't say no. It's a 4-part miniseries.
Oh, that's what you're shooting?
Yeah.
I didn't even know what you're shooting.
Yeah, it's with Kelsey Grammer, who's obviously a brilliant actor. Yeah, it's fantastic, and I have no idea. I went in there, did my stuff. It was, you know, it shot over 4.5-5 months. And I wasn't the lead. I was supporting. So I came in and did my thing. But the actors are lovely. Max Irons, Jeremy Irons' son, is in it. And he's the lead. And great group of people. And then I shot something else right after that in Toronto that's really, really cool, but sadly has to go unnamed as I signed an NDA, but I really can't wait. Maybe I'll do your next next episode and talk about
sounds
it.
Good.
You can't be elite in anything.
No.
It's not possible to be. No.
But it was fun to go and jump in and get in front of camera.
I bet. I don't even know what I would do.
Yeah.
I don't even know what I would do. I'm waiting until we get rights back from my show. I don't even know. I don't even think I'll be on camera for another probably 18 months. I don't even know. I don't know when I'll be on camera.
Well, meanwhile, we'll continue to have some flavorful libations. So bourbon's right. Are you guys watching anything currently on TV that you'd recommend right now?
Tell you what, are you? I'll tell you what I'm waiting for. Literally chomping at the bit, waiting for season, I believe it's 12, of Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Oh, so am I. Yes, I love it. I'm with you on that.
It's a new season's coming out. Every day I'm refreshing, going, when is this coming out, man?
That's
my favorite show on television.
It's the best sitcom ever. It's so good.
I can't. Oh, my. One of my dearest brothers, Mikey, is the production designer on that show. And I have no idea. New season.
Oh, really? Dude, that show's the best. Man. It's a good one to binge. What was your very first concert?
My very first concert, I think, I'm from Louisiana, right? So in Louisiana, there's a festival for everything.
Oh, right.
Crawfish, shrimp festival,
sure.
Crab festival.
And they're all great, like, too.
and they're all amazing. So, I mean, I remember just being there's pictures and stuff of me, like at Mardi Gras after at big shows and stuff, or me sitting on my dad's shoulders at... Literally, you know, I was born in December, and by say spring, I was only 4 or 5 months old, and I'm already at music fest, you know, like at concerts. So I'm sure my first real show was probably like, you know, Irma Thomas or George Clinton or something. You know what I mean?
Good ones.
I have a vivid memory of mine. So I was in love with Gwen Stefani when I was a teenager.
Why wouldn't you?
In love with Gwen Stefani.
She's looked still, exactly the same. She's probably a vampire.
Who doesn't have a crush on her? Huh?
I said she's probably a vampire. She looks exactly the same.
Same. By the way, it's crazy. She's really aged. But anyway, there was a No Doubt concert in New Jersey, and I think I was 14 or 15. This is the first concert I went to alone with my friends. I was 14 or 15. And I convinced my parents, they let me go with my buddy Ricky. And my goal was to touch Gwen Stefani. So I convinced this is
creepy
story.
Party of one.
High five or whatever. So I convinced my buddy Ricky to throw me up on his shoulders to crowd surf to Gwen Stefani. I made it all the way to the stage. I get right within reach, and one of the security guards grabs me, slams me, and I broke my arm.
Oh, damn. That's a good first concert. That might be the best first concert story ever.
Exactly.
You got to meet Gwen Stefani and tell her that story.
I still haven't met her, but I think maybe I met her at like the Teen Choice.
I think we might have to set that up.
That's funny.
Why? What was your first concert, dude?
My first concert, I mean, I'm older than both of you gentlemen, but my first concert was Run DMC and the Beastie Boys.
That's sick.
Yeah, down at the the sports arena. That was
a
good one.
Great.
I'll never forget it either. I was like, whoa, when they came out with my Adidas and all the lights went on. I was like, whoa.
Amazing.
So yeah, that one's a pretty good one. Last question for you boys. Who was your celebrity crush growing up?
Well, I just told you mine.
Gwen Stefani. I had a huge crush on her. You know what, man? When I was a kid, like little kid, I remember seeing oh my gosh, Michelle Pfeiffer
in Grease 2.
Scarface.
Yeah.
And I remember
the
first time I saw that image. I had two huge crushes. One was Michelle Pfeiffer, and the other one was, remember the famous model Iman?
Yeah.
Well, David Bowie's. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. His wife. Yeah.
Like so beyond beautiful, but graceful and
you
like
got a
cool.
Wide strike zone, blonde.
David Bowie. Yeah.
I remember
just obsessing as a kid of these two women.
There you
know.
Go.
It was wild.
I grew up like my parents were immigrants, and I didn't. You know, we were like grew up like trying to assimilate to American culture. And I remember like watching Baywatch, and it's so cliche, but I would be watching all these, like, wow, I was grew up in Jersey, like, oh, you know, in the summers, I'd be like, Malibu beaches. Yeah. And I fell in love as most men did at that time.
Pamela.
And I was just crazy about Pamela Anderson. And I went through that phase.
Yeah. No, we all,
you
we
were probably about 290 million other boys. Yeah.
Well, where are your parents from?
Poland.
Okay. Poland.
And right. They moved here when I was, they moved here literally when I was born, essentially. So, okay.
That's his first language. Paul, I can't say anything in Polish because he's only taught me really bad words that when I say them to people, they run or they slap me. It's only
you're good. The other, you know, you're doing something right there. Well, gentlemen, always nice to see you and to catch up again. Congratulations on everything. And listen, you can follow them on Instagram at Brothers Bond Bourbon. Ian, Paul, thanks for checking in.
Dude, thank you. By the way, Brothers Bond Bourbon, I will say this proudly and humbly, is the most followed alcohol brand in the world on Instagram.
Hey, that's something to be proud of. Very cool, man. Right on.
Yeah. Thank you. Congrats on everything, Mario.
You got it. You got it, guys. Thank you.
Cheers to you, man.
Salud. On with Mario Lopez.